Welcome to the Daily Word from the Fountain, heard weekdays at 4 p.m. on Life Radio WIFI. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message.
They were leaving Jerusalem. It was the same day as the resurrection. They're heading back to a hometown, their hometown. It was called Emmaus, little obscure village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're on their way out, and I'll tell you their state of mind. Their state of mind is that they're totally shattered. Their dreams, hopes are shattered. Their hearts are broken. Anybody ever have a broken heart? Anybody knows what it's like to feel like the world has come unglued at the seams around you? See, they've been following this man called Jesus, but now he had died. They told them about the resurrection, but they didn't believe it. Isn't it something how truth can stare us right in the face and we sometimes don't believe it? They were told about the resurrection, but they didn't believe it. Now they're heading out of town. They're leaving Jerusalem. Their dreams are shattered, their hopes are gone, and their hearts are broken. They had thought this young, charismatic, wise miracle worker named Jesus would change everything. They thought he would overthrow Rome, set up a kingdom, but that didn't happen. What they expected him to do, he did not do. And now they've got all kind of feelings going on: disappointment, discouragement, despair, disillusionment. You ever notice all the sad words begin with D? Not Dave, though. Not Dave. No. And they're beginning to doubt this whole Jesus movement. Jesus meets them on this road. And you know what I love about God? He meets us right where we are. I mean, they've got some broken hearts. But I want to take you to the scripture right now. And I'm not going to preach too long. But I do want you to hear this message today, because some of you may find yourself in the same place. Here it is in Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse number 13. Here we go. A reading from the New International Version. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" Jesus says, "What things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped," don't forget those words, "we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen visions of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going to go further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." They ask each other, I love this part, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And they got up, and they ran back to Jerusalem. Now, this is a 7-mile journey. Running all the way back is 14 miles. This is more than a half a marathon in one day. because they were so lit. Pastor John, he's hanging his head. I said, they were so lit now with this Jesus who just revealed himself. They run back and they tell the 11 who were assembled together. They said, it's true, it's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Walk with me for a little bit. They started out with broken hearts, but by the time Jesus was done with them, they had burning hearts. Can I get amen in the house? I said they started out with broken hearts, but you spend a little time with Jesus and he'll turn your broken heart into an on fire heart. He'll light you up. Come on, somebody. But how does that happen? Just a brother up there, just a little bit more right here, please, for me. How does that happen? How do you go from a broken heart to a burning heart on fire for God? It can seem impossible. And I don't know everybody in the room today. You may be on the mountaintop today, maybe really experiencing life. You know, there's plenty of frosted mini wheats in the cupboards. Can I get an amen in the house? Oreos in the shelf. Thank God Almighty. I've been depressed ever since they stopped selling Girl Scout cookies. But here they are. These are broken. You may be having some high times right now, but maybe you're here today and you're experiencing a broken heart, or maybe it feels like the world has come unglued at the seams for you. How do you get from a broken place to a burning heart? I want to talk to you about that today. How do you get from brokenhearted to a burning heart? It can seem impossible, especially when it feels like a storm has swept through your life and your heart feels like scattered debris from a tornado. There's no self-help, do-it-yourself plan. I'm here today to tell you, you need the resurrected Jesus. We need the resurrected Jesus to come alongside. And I love it because back in verse number 15, that's exactly what Jesus does. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. He joins them, watch, on their road of retreat. He comes after those who were running away from him. He had a calling on their life. He had a purpose for their life. He had talked about dying and rising again, but they didn't even grasp it. It never crossed their minds. How is it we can hear the truth with our ears and it never makes the 18-inch difference to our heart? They had heard about the death and that he would rise again, but they chose to believe the bad news and not the good news. But even the bad news was good news. They had heard about the resurrection, but they just chose to disbelieve it. And now they're on a road of retreat. There's people sitting in this room right now that there's been times when God didn't do what you wanted him to do, and you walked away. And you know, there's people here today. There's people today, not here, but there's people not here today. You see, because God didn't do what they wanted him to do in the way that they wanted him to do it, and they feel that God didn't answer their prayers, and their hope was not in who Jesus was, but what Jesus could do for them. And what happens? Many, you see, they said, we had hoped that he would redeem Israel. We had hoped that he would set up a government, make us the head and not the tail. We'd hoped that our oppression would cease and that Rome would be defeated, and now we would be in charge. We had hoped that he would change our circumstances. But when Jesus didn't do for them, when Jesus didn't perform for them, they backslid and said, we're out of Dodge. And they headed back to their town. There are people today who put their hope in what Jesus can do for them and not who Jesus is. And they're not sitting in church today because God didn't perform for them the way they wanted him to. Our hope, let me tell you right now, our hope cannot be in what Jesus can do for us. It has to be in who he is. Amen, amen. They were running. They were really running from God. They were running from his plan, running from his purpose. They refused to believe the whole story. They were in darkness is what they were in. They couldn't see past the moment. I'll tell you, when your heart is broken and darkness feels like a canopy over your head, the darkness can become so familiar to you that the light becomes foreign to you. And Jesus joins them. I said the darkness can become so familiar that even light is foreign to you. And Jesus joins them in their pain and their perplexity. He joins them in their sorrow and in their suffering. And he took the initiative to go to them when they were running from him. Don't you love that about Jesus? I'm glad me getting to heaven doesn't depend on how cool and how good I am. Thank God Almighty. He took the initiative to go to where they were, because sometimes when your life is broken, it's hard to get to him. So he meets us where we are. If he's ever met you in a poor place, say amen out loud. See, I don't know what you've lost. I don't know what's broken your heart, left you in an emotional free fall. But I know this. I know that Jesus cares more about your mess. He cares more about your marriage. He cares more about your loneliness. He cares more about your heartbreak, your singleness, your parenting. He cares more about you than you could ever imagine. I said he cares more about you than you could ever imagine. And his great desire is to get you from broken to burning. Because these two brothers were broken, but the end of the story, you've already heard it. Their hearts are on fire for God. Look what he did next. I love this about Jesus. In verse 17, 18, and 19, he says, what are you discussing together? See, whenever God asks a question, he's not looking for information. I said, whenever God asks a question, he's not looking for information. He's about to drop revelation. Can I get an amen in the house? He says, what are you doing? What are you talking about? And they stood there with their faces looking down. And one of them, Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem? You don't know the things that have happened here these days? And I love this. He goes, what things? I said, whenever God asks a question, he's not looking for information. He's about to drop revelation. You see, Pastor Reuben says this a lot. He joins me on a program. We have conversations with Russ on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And he always says, God is not scared of your questions. Anybody ever have any questions for God? I said, anybody ever question God? Yeah. So they begin to pour out their heart. He said, what are you talking about? And so they begin to, they just begin to pour out their complaint to the Lord. And, I remember David did that. David poured out his heart. God, where are you? And why is my situation like this? And why is my soul so downcast? David in the Bible, King David, the one who slew the giant, there were times that he was high on the mountain and times, I mean, you read the Psalms and you think this dude is bipolar. You read the Psalms, I mean, he's definitely bipolar, David. I'm telling you. Because in one minute, he's so sad. And then he goes, in the end of the Psalm, he goes, but my hope is in the Lord, and I will praise him all the day long. Who was that masked man? But David many times poured out his heart. And here's what they were doing in verse number 21. They said, well, we had hoped, Jesus would set up his kingdom. We had hoped he would change our circumstances. Walk with me, please. Some of us have been the same place. But we had hoped he would relieve our suffering. But we had hoped he would take our political side. Can I tell you that Jesus, I know you wish he was a Republican. Oh boy, here goes Russ. I said, I know that you hope Jesus was a Democrat. But guess what? He doesn't align himself with the elephant or the donkey. He has the lamb's agenda. Amen. And Jesus didn't come to take your political side. He didn't even come to fix the race problem. He didn't come to fix the political disunity problem. He didn't even come to fix the poverty problem. He came to fix the sin problem. Because when he fixes the sin problem, you love people who are a different race than you. When he fixes the sin problem in your life, you love people of other political persuasions. I can't wait till the elections are over because it brings out the meanness in Christians. When he takes care of the sin problem, you love and serve the poor. Could I tell you today that Jesus didn't come to fix your problems? He came to give you a whole new life. And their hope was in the wrong thing. Their hope was in what Jesus could do and not in who Jesus was. Let me ask you a question. What happens when God doesn't do what you wanted him to do? What happens when it seems like life has dealt you a bad deck of cards and everything seems unfair? What happens when things don't turn out the way you planned or you prayed? I'll tell you what happens. Disappointment sets in. Anybody ever deal with disappointment? Anybody ever have any prayers that didn't get answered the way you prayed them? Look, see, half of them's lying. Lord, help these people tell the truth. Would you help them? Lord, I'm asking you one thing today. Help this church today admit some things in the house. And I pray that the spirit of truth would sweep over the house.
We hope you enjoyed the Daily Word from the Fountain. The Fountain of Life is located at 2035 Columbus Road in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either of our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. On behalf of Pastor Russ, thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.